We're back here on News Radio KMAN's In Focus. We're talking with Sunset Zoo officials. We got head zookeeper Savannah Hyatt.
Yeah.
Okay, looking here on my sheet. Are you the new head zookeeper, or have you been there for a while?
Well, I've been at the zoo for about 2.5 years, and I just got promoted to head keeper recently.
Okay. So tell us a little bit. We were talking here during the break. I've always thought it'd be fun to work at a zoo. You say it's the best job ever.
It's definitely the best job in the world. We get to interact not just with these amazing animals from all over the world on a daily basis. We get to interact with the public. It means a lot to anybody that works in a zoological facility. I mean, conservation is always number one on our mind. And we get to work closely with these animals every day that are really, they become family members. I call them my little children. But it's really important to us to have these experiences and be able to share it with the public and to push the message of conservation, because I really believe that a lot of the times people just don't grasp what damage is being done when they can't see it on the outside world. So when they get to come to the zoo and they get to be face to face and they really get to see an animal that they wouldn't see from across the world, it helps make this connection that, hey, this thing exists and it needs our help, and we can educate you and you guys can help. And so it helps to be able to do a lot of fun and interesting things like training and behavioral matters of animals. It's not a walk in the park. There is a lot of cleaning. I think a lot of people don't understand how much cleaning. There's a lot of cleaning involved and a lot of hard manual labor, but it's worth every moment.
So tell us how you got interested in this position.
Well, I've always been interested in animals. I actually was at Moore Park Community College in California way back in 2008, and they have a zoo on grounds, and they have a program where they teach people how to become animal trainers, and they move on to places like SeaWorld in San Diego and things like that. And then the recession happened, and I ended up joining the military, and I spent 6 years active duty in the Army. And in that time frame, even though I was a human medic, I was always the go-to gal for anything to do with wildlife, anything to do with animals my whole time in the military. And when I had my daughter and I got out of the service, I kind of went back to my roots, and I ended up being a veterinary technician, and I loved that. And I got on with the Milford Nature Center in Junction City, and they really expanded my world into more birds of prey and working with a little more exotic native species, but more exotic than I'd worked with. And I fell in love with it. And I got an opportunity to apply to a keeper position at the zoo, and I jumped on it, and I've loved it ever since.
Yeah. So tell us what all goes into the day-to-day, what a head zookeeper does.
Well, a head zookeeper is a little different than like day-to-day zookeeper. In my current role now, I take over some of the management aspects of it. So I'm in charge of helping out my other keepers. I still get to do daily zookeeper tasks with animals throughout the week, but I keep track of my other keepers, how their areas are running, things that they need to improve for their areas to make their animals' lives better, to make their lives better. I do scheduling. I do a lot of registrar log data entry for our facility. We are on a global network called ZIMS, and all of that information that zoos put in from all over AZA facilities helps contribute to conservation tracking around the world. As far as a daily zookeeper task, it's just like with any other job. You come in, you start your day. We have to feed animals. Some animals get fed once a day. Some get fed twice a day. And then there's the cleaning. They can't pick up after themselves, right. So we have to assist with that. Training and enrichment happens every day, and that's a really vital part to keeping the animals happy and healthy. We do observations throughout the day to make sure that everybody is acting appropriate behavioral-wise. We interact with the public usually on a daily basis, birthday parties, special events. It's never the same thing every day. We always feeding and cleaning every day, but it's nice because there's always some different little aspects that come in throughout the day.
Now, you mentioned the importance of conservation, and I know a lot of kids will come to the zoo and they learn about it. This is kind of their first introduction into animal life and health around the world. Do you find that the message is also accepted by a lot of the older folks who come and visit as well? The message of conservation is getting through to them?
We try our best. Young minds are a lot easier to influence than older, I think. But I like to take those opportunities to talk to some of the older public and maybe give them a picture that they didn't consider before. And actually, it helps a lot to interact with younger children and put those impressions and thoughts into younger children, because a lot of times younger children will take it back to older people who may not have considered that, you know, we have bees at the zoo, and if we get an opportunity, we can talk about how we want to reduce uses of pesticides because we need to keep pollinators around. And people don't always grasp the idea that you may be taking care of this one small problem for you, but it can be detrimental over a vast amount of things. So I'm not going to say that they're always the most willing to listen, but I like to take any opportunity I can to help educate them. And it's really nice when they do want to learn. And I still believe a vital part is educating the children, because they help bring it back, and they're really influential. And they do. They're even at a young age. My daughter's 6, and she cares a lot about the planet.
I have a 9-year-old. It's the same way. She's gotten into not using plastic straws as much and reusable straws.
Yeah, so. My daughter does the same thing. She packs her lunch in her reusable baggies, and she uses little Tupperware containers, and she likes to recycle. And so that it makes an impact. And I've learned that it helps older folks when they see younger children act like that, even things as small as my daughter doesn't like to kill spiders. So babysitters that she's had now, she will carry. I've had adults come to me and be like, well, I've changed the way I do this because Riley, my daughter, has asked me to do it differently. So they may not step on things, or they may not start poisons, or they may recycle. So small children's can make an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, is there a favorite part of the zoo, or maybe a favorite animal you have out there?
That's a tough question. It changes almost every day. I have special bonds with everybody that I work with. Oddly enough, I was never a primate person. I was never a bird person. And now I absolutely adore bird of prey, and I love primates. My continuous favorites would probably be our 6-year-old chimp, Kodo. And then I really love our turkey vulture, Sully. And I think, probably because I have a 6-year-old, I feel like a lot of people who have children like to interact with primates. But it's very much like working with my own child. And then things like our turkey vulture or opossums, animals that are really misunderstood, that are just awesome animals if you get to sit with people and talk about them. And I'm kind of a fan of the ones that aren't as cute and cuddly because they have all these other great traits. But it changes every day. It's hard to always pinpoint one that's my favorite. I love all of them.
You know, I always have, you know, certain animals I like to go see at the zoo, and there's always parts of the zoo and I'm like, no, I could do without, you know, snakes is one of them for sure. But, you know, I know they're all important here, and you guys have folks out there all the time who educate us on, you know, why they exist, you know, why we need snakes in our world, which I can't imagine there's much reason, but I'm sure there is.
There's a lot of reasons. Yeah, I mean, I love that we get to open people's eyes onto, we have like our megafauna. People always like the tigers, the elephants, the rhinos, big things that are always in the public view. But all the little guys that you kind of brush over, they're equally as important, if not more important, in a lot of instances. So it's fun to educate the public on that. I've had quite a few people who don't like snakes. But if I can sit and have a conversation with them, most of the time I can at least convince them that they are vital. You don't need to interact with them, but you can see why they're important, and maybe you don't want to get rid of all of them.
All right. Well, my last question for you here would just be, why would you encourage people to come out to the Sunset Zoo?
Oh, we are such a special facility. I've grown up in all sorts of zoos, and though the big zoos have a lot more big, like megafauna that I talked about, something special about our zoo is it's got a lot of history to it. We have beautiful limestone structures. In the springtime, when everything blooms, our facility is gorgeous. And I feel like you get a pretty close interaction with all of the animals because you get to see them up close. We even have animals that a lot of people have never really heard of or seen before, like the maned wolves from South America. I'd never even seen a maned wolf until I came to Manhattan. And so
I'm like, ooh, they have some long legs.
Foxes on stilts. But you have a lot of opportunities to see a more intimate side of the zoo world. And I think it's a real awesome thing to have nestled in the middle of your guys' community. And like she talked about with Expedition Asia, we are just only going to continue to get bigger and get better. And you know, we're a part of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, AZA, and that's a, it's a big honor. It takes a lot of hard work to be accredited through them, not just for the welfare and care of our animals, but our contributions towards conservation, towards the community. Like, we're a very special entity. We've got great playground facilities for the children, and it's a great walk on a nice day. It'll be a good workout. We are a bit of a workout at our facility, but there is a lot that makes our facility special, and it's pretty awesome for a little zoo.
All right. Well, Melissa, I'll let you have the last
word. Yeah. So just like Savannah said, it is a little bit of a workout, but we do encourage everyone to come on out, and you will see something different every time that you're out, probably. The more you come out, the more you have the chance to see all the amazing animals and maybe talk to a zookeeper, too.
All right. Looking forward to it. I haven't been to the Sunset Zoo in a little bit, so I'm...
Well, come on out. Yeah, I encourage it.
Yeah, going to make that a priority here in the month of March. So, Melissa Kirkwood and Savannah Hyatt are guests here this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to wrap up In Focus here for this Monday. Tune in tomorrow. We'll have a member of the Pottawatomie County Commission joining us for the hour as In Focus continues through the week. Stay tuned. The Greater Manhattan Community Foundation Hour is next.